Good morning. There have been a very large number of books written over the years, some of them relative bestsellers, and an even larger number of docudramas and television specials of one sort or another about the star. What exactly was it? Was it simply a miracle that God caused to appear in the sky at such and such a time? Or was it some kind of astronomical or astrological conjunction that can be worked out and then used to time all the events? Problem with all of that is it's chasing the wrong quarry, and therefore, of course, wrong winds up with the wrong answer. It's looking at the historicity of something that Matthew is telling us pretty clearly not to take historically. I mean, the star that appears to the Magi and leads them to Bethlehem, or leads them at least to Judea, that's a possibility. But then when they come out of the palace and it reappears and now functions not just as an astronomical phenomenon, but as a little blinking GPS marker in the sky that gives them turn-by-turn directions to a particular house in Bethlehem. And they notice it, of course. But the guys that Herod has sent to keep an eye on them don't notice it. Begins to stretch credibility just a tad. You think Matthew didn't know that? Point was, he didn't care. Rather hoped you'd notice. Because he doesn't want you to get bogged down in trying to figure out exactly how this happened or what the facts of it are. The bare facts of this, if there were bare facts, would be bare facts. Mundane. Not terribly useful. What he wants you to do, what he's telling you very clearly to do, is to start looking at the significance of it. If something makes no sense on the literal historical level, then maybe it wasn't meant on that level. Maybe it was meant on a different level, which is where we should seek its meaning. That's what's going on here with the star. You think about a star, think about light. Without very much by way of artificial illumination, and certainly none at distance, the ancients were much more cognizant of stars than we are. It was the only light you had besides the moon at night. It was what you navigated by, whether you were on the ship of the desert, the old faithful camel, or whether you were at sea. To see a star was to have light, to have a point of reference, to have something that told you where you were and where you could go. Isaiah picks up that image in the first reading. Darkness covers the peoples, but upon you a light has arisen. A light of revelation. A light from God. Interesting, that same passage, just a few verses later, talks about people coming from the east and bringing gold and frankincense, which details, of course, Matthew appropriates for his story, and then adds myrrh. Now, you heard the stanzas of the opening hymn this morning, and that symbolism wasn't made up by the guy that wrote the hymn. That's the old and obvious symbolism. So to the original themes from Isaiah, gold symbolizing wealth, symbolizing kingship, symbolizing prosperity, and incense symbolizing God, symbolizing worship, symbolizing proper relation between God and humans. Matthew adds myrrh, which was used primarily as an embalming spice. You get a clue here as to how this story will develop. The one who is our King and our God will die. This is a little note in the overture that will prepare you for something later in the opera. But meanwhile, back to the star. What does the star mean? What does it tell us? I suggest that you look at that star. It's the place to start. Certainly familiar to us. It's been here, what, 25 years now or thereabouts? Beverly Lipinski's work, God rest her. Look at it. It's clearly a source of light. Of course, like Matthew, we help out with the details. A couple of floodlights trained on it assist in that regard. But look at it some more. There's negative space in the center. It's what's not there that's just as important as what is there. Perhaps more so. What do you not see? Looks very much like the outline of a human form. But because it's negative space, it's very clearly polyvalent. It has a lot of meanings to it. Is the upper part, it goes like that. Is that the infant below it? The child with arms upraised as in pick me up? Or is that a man stretched out on a cross with arms being pulled apart to be nailed down? Or is that a man rising triumphant from the grave in a salute of glory? Or all of the above? Look at the lower part. The crinkle and the extension. Is that crinkle the sign of a newborn who hasn't gotten comfortable outside of the fetal position yet? Or is that a man whose legs have been jammed up so that they can be nailed to the cross? That part that goes below there, is that embryonic, perhaps? Is that a way of saying that being an embryo, being a human, being a baby, being a human adult, being dead, being raised, are all one? Does it say any of those things or all those things? And perhaps more. The negative space deliberately says so little in order that it may say so much. Symbol frequently works that way. The symbol of the light, the symbol of the star. This is a light of revelation. It reveals to us, manifests to us. Epiphany is manifestation. Who Jesus is. Who God is. Who we are. We can spend a long time walking by the light of that star that wasn't really there at Bethlehem. Just as the negative space in that star opens up in so many dimensions for us to help us understand the meaning of what's happening. What's happening at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, what's happening in Baltimore today, and what will be happening centuries from now. It all unfolds out of the symbol. Think about it. This is the season for meditating on symbols, for doing as Mary did, taking these things and turning them over in your heart. And every time you ruminate on them a little further, turn them over a little more, there is another flash, another burst of light, another reflection from the star that tells us a little more about Jesus, about God, and about ourselves. As the introduction told us, this feast, which in the East was combined with next week's feast, the Feast of the Baptism, was a popular time for baptism in the church, and therefore it is not unfitting that we have one this morning. Following that star is a lifelong process, but every lifelong process has a beginning. And here is somebody who is about to begin. Let the one who is to be baptized, parents and godparents, please come forward.